Welcome to the Annie Tay Podcast, codenamed Love Live. I'm your host, Dex. Once again, we've got some of our Mov Love correspondents to talk about the first two parts of the trilogy, which would be Extra and Unlimited. But first, we've got another correspondent who hasn't introduced himself. He's replacing Exile for this particular installment. So let's ask Rock, or Kevin, the originator of Rocknet, as we call it, what his ML qualifications and VN experience are. So, just how did you get to learn about Mov Love, as it were? You. And yes.
Pretty much you.
Yeah, that was going to be an easy one from the get-go. And what's your visual novel experience? Because we asked that last time.
Everything, like all the visual novels. I'm like the resident visual novel guy of Annie Tay, so
especially
yeah.
Fate Stay Night H scenes.
Shut up.
Nasu!
And that was before Mov Love, correct?
Yeah, I have gone through, before Mov Love, I've played tons of visual novels, but since then I've also played tons of visual novels, so yeah.
Yes. No, that was easy. It certainly didn't last as long as last time's, segment on that. In any case, now we can just move on to the actual content, which...
Well, there's the rest of us.
Well, there is the rest of you, but you guys already talked. But, yeah, we've got Kraken Unleashed back. We don't need to tell you where he's from. We've got Kinksy over here.
Hello.
And we got Messiah.
Chomp.
And like I said, we already introduced these guys, so you can just go back in time.
Stop eating all the yakisoba bread, Messiah.
And acting like a young child who happens to be a girl. Don't ask questions, viewers. So let's just move on to the content of this segment. Extra. What is it?
It's a visual novel.
It is lacrosse. That's it.
Okay, so far...
Only lacrosse.
Okay, so far, yeah, two things right. I think both those are true.
It's also very, very, very long.
It
and
is
very boring.
Yes, it is very, very long. Kraken, you have any insight?
Yeah, it's Extra is the slice of life shenanigans section of Mov Love.
Yeah,
it has a couple of the endings are kind of bizarre.
Really?
ended banging.
Not all of them. One of them doesn't end with banging, and the other one ends with
there's
banging
like
and bad
ending.
They
all end with crashing, though, because the game will crash once you get to the ending.
Unless you're me and Tame the Rugby.
Unless you're me.
Or me.
Never had to crash the entire game.
But that's why you support the Kickstarter, so you can get a version of the game that does not crash.
Hell yeah. But of course, like I said, I have tamed the rug piece somehow. I'll still never understand how the hell I did that. I suppose I sacrificed just the right things. In any case,
innocent souls.
In addition to lacrosse, this Mov Love Extra is what did I once call it? It was a borderline generic parody harem visual novel. It's basically it. You got a bunch of roots.
I refer to it as the challenge because being so boring and generic will deter people, and you have to get through this challenge to get to Mov Love.
Yes, although it's important to note that it is a challenge, but it's also a gigantic troll, as you will later discover.
And it's 100% necessary.
Yeah, it's 100% necessary, and anyone who tells you differently needs to go be tossed to the mercy of Rugby. So, I mean, it's got roots, it's got girls, and it's got all of the ridiculousness you'd usually expect out of a ridiculous comedy anime.
Especially Maya's End.
Yes, especially Maya's End. Although, pretty much anything yes. involving Maya is ridiculous. Let's not forget the time that she brought an entire team of chefs to Takaru's school to make
her
him lunch.
Her very first day of school.
Yes, her
actually.
Very first day. If
not
I
just
recall.
Any chefs, high-ranking chefs.
Yes, world-famous chefs. So, everything Maya does is big.
She's also rich enough to have the entire town move away so she can destroy the place. And
she leveled an entire city and then brought it back in a day.
And now Takaru technically lives in a desert.
Also, he gets driven around in a giant limo, which...
Isn't it, like, 60 feet long?
It is something really huge.
It can take 90-degree turns without any issues at all.
And on switchbacks on hills, it can just drive over the switchbacks.
I suppose we should mention some of the characters.
Yes, we should probably actually talk about something in depth rather than just tossing out
podcast.
Not just talk about random stuff.
Right.
There's
plenty
stuff.
Of random stuff that happens in Extra.
Yeah, there's plenty of random stuff. In fact, one might say that that's the entire story. Actually, yep. That is the entire story.
Pretty much
insanity.
It's just repeated insanity over and over again, which is why I call it a parody. Okay. Takeru, yes. Let's just start off with talking about Takeru, who is...
an idiot.
Consensual sex in a missionary position.
The most generic Aaron protagonist.
Ever. Yeah, that all sounds about right. there is nothing wrong about the statements that have been made here.
And he is a keen Valgaron player.
Yes, which comes into play later. But Takeru is your standard generic protagonist who wakes up in the morning and finds himself in bed with a girl. Yes, that totally happened. And after that, everything just goes completely insane in his life. Quite literally.
Yeah. As he becomes a harem protagonist.
Yeah, he's thrust into being a ridiculous harem protagonist. And, you know, that's basically our show for Extra. It really is, unfortunately.
Yay! Okay, so
yay.
That's fine, guys. PTSD.
But we can still talk about other things. You know, like, you know, you go for hours in Extra, you go through the lacrosse, you go through all of these ridiculous harem things, and then you finally get to those endings. You know.
Bang, bang,
and you're on a boat with a fish.
Nice.
Yes.
Boat, guys.
If you mess up.
I actually had to try to get the fish ending. That was an interesting one. You get to these endings, and, you know, the game ends. But most specifically, when you complete Sumika and Maya's end, something interesting
also
happens.
Also, I would like to state that even if you do the bare minimum of those, I highly recommend doing Kay's ending as well, as one of her characters plays a rather large role in our alternative.
Yes, that's very true. Her plot does fold into alternative a bit, which becomes somewhat important. It probably would take away from the experience to not see it.
Other two girls, I'm not very sure.
Shizuru...
Tama has some point.
Tama has, yeah, especially her dad and stuff.
I honestly thought it's probably more amusing if you don't know anything about her dad until Unlimited, because you're believing everything that they believe.
Yeah,
but
then you don't get his awesome mustache.
Yeah.
Mustache is legendary.
It is legendary.
Shizuru's route is only useful if, I'd say, following Kiminozo. Sort of, because you get to see more characters there.
Okay.
Having watched.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't replay to the later games.
Hmm. So, I would go with these guys on this. Maya and...
Okay, I'm just going to say, I'm the odd one out who just played the bare minimum. I don't think I missed out on much. So, if you want to play just the bare minimum routes that are required to move on, you can do that.
Yeah.
I'd
suggest doing Case. Shizuru... not so much, because hers, basically, her route exists to kind of expand on this rivalry between her and Kay, rather than, really add anything to the story. There's no really nod forwards. There are a few, but nothing interesting like Kay's route. And, yeah, Thomas up in the air.
The necessary bad ending.
Yes, there's, of course, the necessary bad ending, or... as you guys have referred to it, Mad Dog. It is a very interesting bad ending.
Bang.
Round two.
Let's just leave it at that, how about? We don't want to spoil this even for the people who have played the game.
besides that, would we have any, like, really great highlights of Extra?
great highlights. I mean,
all to the sanity we talked about earlier.
Well, basically, the guy who drives the Maya's limo, Takahashi, that guy's a highlight of the entire franchise.
The cooking contest, of course.
Yes, the cooking contest. Oh, so fun.
The theme park, depending on which girl you pick, is also can be very funny.
The Super Sentai ripoff on Maya's route, that was fun. Yes.
The haunted house, I can't remember which route that's in.
Haunted house,
That's in Maya's route.
Yeah, it sounds correct.
Yeah. And
she's just completely destroyed.
Right, because she takes out her sword and tries to sword the ghost. Oh, good times, man.
And then she completely destroys the stage play.
And the highlight of Extra for me, though, it's the cross, because I get to watch all you guys go through it.
The cross is obviously the biggest.
I had to go through all of it, because I didn't know if any of it was important.
Press control to win.
I didn't do that. I went step by step through Extra. I didn't use the control ever. Not once.
I did.
Yeah. We know, Rock. You've made it very clear that you dislike a cross.
We have forgotten one character.
Really?
And that's his best friend, who disappears to random islands every now and again.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mikoto. Yes. It kind of is forgotten because, you know, who needs a guy in a parody comedy, right?
Who needs a guy in a harem?
Yeah, and apparently even the authors thought so.
Nudge, wink, wink.
We'll get to that. But yes, there's a guy, best friend, who's good at playing video games just like him. His name is Mikoto.
And then we get awkward scenes and unlimited.
Well, yes, I was first gonna bring up the hot springs part where Mikoto holds a towel up in front of his chest, and you're like, are you serious right now? we're being serious, right? Okay. Oh, and there's also a sparkle around him, if I remember right, so you're just like going, great.
He's embarrassed about his lack of chest hair. I mean...
Yeah, of course,
what
Kraken.
What is this, snafu?
It is a really big snafu.
Yeah. So, I mean... Yes, okay, so now we've got the full cast. Well, aside from, I guess we should mention the maids. The maids.
and the teachers.
Teachers, yeah. Marimo, Yuko's crazy. Or we think...
She's definitely crazy. Her lectures make no sense.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Especially
she's the literal mad scientist of the series.
Yeah, she's the mad scientist, and everything that comes out of her mouth sounds like crap. And then...
More on that later.
God, I hate them.
Everyone included herself.
And then Marimo's just such a nice teacher that gets trolled by Yuko and put into cosplay repeatedly. Yeah, not much interesting about that. The maids are just... insane.
Can I slap them, please?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We all want
least,
to.
At least the three idiots.
Yeah, the three idiots. I hope we keep that translation, the three idiots. I really do.
They are, as mentioned throughout the game by Takeru, they are completely stupid.
Maya has four maids. There's Tsukiyomi. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's the head maid, Mana. Yeah, that's a simpler way to say it.
Mana-san.
Yeah. She's the head maid, and then you've got the three idiots, as we just said. And everybody wants to, like, slap or punch or do something to the three maids.
Kick
and,
the face.
Yeah. Because they're complete idiots, and they go out of their way to piss off Takeru, or get rid of him, or I don't know which they're actually trying to do for the most part. And then Mana's always just nuts. You know, she seems pretty grounded, but, you know, she's, Shota, and...
Yeah.
And, that says about all we need to say about her character.
Much to the distress of Mikoto.
Much to the distress of Mikoto, indeed. That was during the birthday arc when that happened. So we've gone over characters, we've gone over lacrosse, we've gone over some endings.
Have we talked about consensual sex in the missionary position yet?
Apparently you are. Unpure sexual relations license.
For someone who skipped past most of these scenes, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. If I'm right, you're referring to the license, right? I can't remember where that missionary...
That was at the very beginning. We're talking are you in my house?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, your parents just signed us over to you.
Yeah. The...
Signed you over to us.
You're allowed to have unfair sexual relations with... Yeah. That license is legendary just for its... It's one of those... We call it insane troll logic on TV tropes. It is logic that is so demented and insane that you cannot argue against it. Like, you're presented with a license that is signed by your parents and her that says that you're allowed to have impure sexual relations with her, and you're like... What?
Obviously, childhood friend Sneaker is very unhappy about this.
Of course, which she's unhappy about anything involving another girl. Unsurprisingly to everyone. I guess that would be the setup for the actual plot of Extra, which is Sumika and Maya totally want him. Or something like that. And then the other three are just kind of there.
They're there as our extra options.
Yeah.
Extra. I did not even mean that.
Well, you're going to have unlimited options later.
Not or really. None.
Yes, you can. And we'll explain that later.
And then you'll have an alternative.
Boo. You know, you say boo, but that's actually the intent of the title of it. It's the alternative. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that next
alternative
podcast.
Alternative that you wanted. You know you wanted.
Speaking of that, the end of Sumika's route is a fucking troll. Hang on, I'll see if I can bring up the quote. I have it. In the meantime, you guys can talk or something. I know it's in
there. I like to say that no matter who you pick, Sumika or Maya,
you
always feel
like
a douche at the end.
Here it is. The end of Sumika's route. They're at the movie theater.
Yes, I know this line very
yeah,
well.
Yeah, they're at the movie theater. They've just finished watching a movie, and Takaru and Sumika are talking, and Sumika says, hey, how was the movie? And Takaru says, the plot twists were well-paced, the action scenes felt tense, and everything about it screamed masterpiece. What are you talking about? The movie I wanted to see! Why the hell did we go to see a chick flick?
There are many lines like that dotted for our extra, which will make you, in hindsight, want to kill yourself.
And even worse, you can never tell if they're actually doing it to you. I still don't know if that was an intentional line in that Sumika part, but it sure feels like it.
even if Ty made everything that happened did not happen?
That surely must have been intentional, considering what we're about to move on to.
Yeah, but... You can only
everything
hope.
Everything was intentional.
Yeah, when you start thinking like that, Messiah, you start to getting what we call epileptic trees, which is generating theories out of stuff that doesn't exist.
But don't we do that in literature class every single day?
Yes. Well, the teachers certainly do.
Shakespeare is rolling in his grave.
Shakespeare is just like, I don't care, I got paid. Much like Cookie's like, I don't care, I'm really getting paid. Also, he's probably still reveling in the pain that he subjected on the universe. Okay. So now that we've got all of this out of the way, Extra. All you need to know about it, essentially, is it is borderline, parody, romantic comedy, insanity, and it does that for 5 routes. 7 if you include the 2 bad endings.
But you should go through it anyways.
But you should do it because it's awesome when you go back to it. And then you realize how mega-trolled you were all throughout it.
And it kind of sets up the mood for the next games.
Yes, indeed. So now we can move on to the really juicy thing.
Juicy.
Muff Love Unlimited. Wow, it's certainly more interesting than Extra. At least seems like
we
it.
We may be debating juicy, though. We have alternative is the juicy one, but.
Well, so I'd say that that's just the painful one, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever floats your boat, or your TSS.
That's just the one where you internally scream the entire last third of the story.
No!
The entire podcast will be just screaming for like an hour.
Ah!
Ah! Oh my fucking god, why no? Ah!
Oh, and by the way, Messiah, I'm going to rig up explosives under your house just in case you try to do anything involving candies. just giving you fair warning.
I'm sure Exile is doing that right now.
Yeah. We know where you live. Okay.
Which is now destroyed, and everything is an actual desert around your house instead of the fake one, or not fake one.
Well, I was going to say, your house looks like Taku's at the beginning of Unlimited. Oh!
Segway! Yeah!
So once you finish,
oh
Maya...
Oh my god, is that a giant robot? Yes! Thanks, Exile.
Good job, Messiah. You are now in Muff Love Unlimited, a place where it's so awesome that you're living in a post-apocalyptic reality. By the way, have
you
we told you that most...
The world die? This is so fucking cool!
I know, right? And the aliens are coming to kill you.
Yeah.
You're gonna get to ride a giant robot, though. So everything's fine.
A world where the concept of video games does not exist.
Yes, because we can't concern ourselves with frivolous stuff like video games. We have to fight.
Or LED screens.
Or LED screens. Although it looks like they have some form of LED screens, at least somewhere. It seems unlikely that they'd have heads-up displays if they hadn't invented some kind of LED. In any case, just getting back
it all looks like a Game & Watch screen.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
To get to Unlimited, you have to finish Sumika and Maya's routes, and then it unlocks Unlimited. And then you go in, and like we were joking with Messiah here, you're still Takaru, but one day you just kind of wake up from your bed, and you're like, huh, no one's coming to wake me up. This is weird. Huh. Like, you go outside, wow, everything's destroyed. Oh, it's giant robots!
That's crossed your best friend's house.
But it's so cool! And then you're like, well, I guess I better go up to the school. And you go up to the school and you meet a couple of guys in the UN military who apparently are a thing. And then they take you into custody because you're like, oh man, this is so cool. All the while they're saying, who are you?
Wait, yeah!
And your school is now a military base.
Yeah!
Because reasons.
Why not, eh?
So this is where things start getting interesting.
Yes, yes indeed. You know, in between the bouts of Takaru still thinking he's in a dream and all this is so amazing. Yeah.
But then you start meeting people.
Yes. You start meeting some familiar people. You know, there's this one girl he might recognize. Her name was Yuko. She was your teacher. Now she's a mad scientist. Wait, never mind.
Mad scientist.
Now she's just a mad scientist for the UN.
With a military budget.
Hell yeah. And we're not really sure what she's doing there. All we know is that she's interested in you, because she's like, you're from an alternate reality, huh? Interesting. And obviously, this is where the plot all starts kicking off. She finds you interesting, so she puts you into TSF training, essentially, to fly one of the awesome giant robots that are referred to as tactical surface fighters, which, by the way, are amazing.
Yeah.
Just to decide, TSFs are awesome, right? I'm not alone here.
Yes.
No, they are very cool.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm not a fan of the face for some reason.
The face is a little weird, but I can see what they're...
I find that quite ironic in hindsight.
I find a lot of things ironic in hindsight when it comes to Muv-Luv.
But there's a lot of stuff before you ever get a chance to step into your mech.
You never actually step into a mech that we see in Unlimited. It's very interesting.
You do, but...
Oh, yeah, it's a practice round, yeah. That's about it, though. You never use it in combat, you never use it in any missions. You just climb in it and you fly around for a minute. Let's see. So you get put into TSF training, and you meet some other familiar faces. Very familiar faces, as it were. And it's Maya, it's Shizuru, it's Mikoto, who is, as we've alluded to, now a girl. So, a lot truer to herself. Is it now a girl, or
are you guys of the opinion?
We have never figured it out.
I'm still of the opinion she was always a girl, but...
I'm also of that opinion, but I don't... There's no proof either way.
It's a trap.
I'm just gonna go with... It was... He was a guy in Extra, but then reality corrected for itself in a minute.
You know,
world lines, man. Just one difference can change the entire story, and maybe that one difference between both of these universes...
Was
Mikoto's gender? Who knows, man? Maybe that's why the beta came.
So what are beta?
What are beta? They are aliens who invaded from outer space. More specifically, they were found on the moon when we went to go land on the moon, which I think took place in the 1950s in this timeline. So that's okay. So
no, wait. I think it was Mars. And then they moved to the moon.
Well, they recorded the movement on Mars, but they landed on the moon at some point, or they found them on the moon. And most of the wars that took place in space were on the moon until they jumped to Earth. So there were lunar wars in there. I'm not sure if they touch on that in Unlimited or in Alternative.
That may be alternative.
I think they briefly discuss it.
Maybe. Point here is, aliens landed. And for a while we had them contained, you know, and then they kind of started handing us our asses repeatedly.
And they decimated.
They kind of took over Eurasia.
The entire pop, basically all but 1 billion of planet Earth.
Depending on the source you look at, North America is fine because America nuked the living shit out of Canada.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry, guys. The Japanese really know where America's interests lie. I'll give them that. And South America's fine. Haven't made the jump across the oceans because America nuked the hell out of Canada. And Africa's fine. They've got that still. Although, as Exile pointed out, I think they might have retconned that in Alternative. Because I believe Africa is fully clear in Alternative, but it's not in Unlimited. There's a map somewhere in Unlimited. In any case, three continents are fine, but Eurasia is kind of like dead.
Yay.
Don't worry, Britain's still fine. Sort of.
Sort of.
You know, they kind of have to send guys out across the channel to defeat the beta constantly in part of culling operations to make sure that they don't make the leap across the channel. Basically, you guys are trolling the beta.
Sounds about right, to be honest.
Yeah, it does, really. It does.
British humor. Japanese really know where our interests lie.
What was that, Messiah?
British humor in the post-apocalyptic age.
Indeed. I'm still waiting on the side stories where we get to see that. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, let's get to 720k, guys.
Yeah!
We go into Unlimited. It is a crap sack world where most of humanity's been decimated. In fact, men who are of, 20 years old or, you know,
extinct.
Lower than that, basically don't exist anymore, which is... why everyone finds Takeru to be such an enigma. What? It's a guy?
In the army?
What? And just in case you aren't keeping up with this, it's because they already used all of the guys. They all died. I always found that to be an interesting facet of the world. Yeah, we pretty much killed off all the men at this point. To the point where they're like, we don't actually have any guys training uniforms anymore. You're just going to have to wear the regular suit. it's a little stuff like that that makes you go, you put almost too much thought into this. You realize that.
And then you think that until much later.
And then you think that until much later, and you're like, you really put way too much thought into this. And it is fantastic. So... I mean, aside from the setup, aside from the setting, Mud Love Unlimited is not what you would call a radical difference from Extra.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, except now you have aliens and mechs.
Yeah, and just to expound on this more, we never see the beta. We never fight the beta. We never really fight anything in Unlimited. It's literally
except
just
a volcano.
Except a volcano. Yes, we totally fought that shit. With a sword.
Bro, fight the power.
Also, getting trapped under rubble with Maya and almost kissing.
Almost.
Also a thing that happened. Well, that's very anime-like to almost kiss. But all in all, it's more or less just the Extra we know with a crapsack world, because basically all they're doing is, instead of school, they're training.
Of course, Takeru is one of the most useless cadets imaginable, as he is just a normal harem protagonist.
Yep. Even Makoto's
weighing down the entire team so hard.
Yeah, and
especially since he lacks a lot of muscle.
Yeah. And at the one point, Makoto, you know, has to help him out. They go on, like, this, you know, island trip, as we'll call it.
Yeah.
You know, he gets bitten by a snake. Religion. Weirdness happens. It was an interesting time on that island. Let's just leave it. I don't like to think about that. Especially since I had to do it a couple of times. Yeah, just now. I went and replayed, and I went through that part, and I'm like, not again. No.
This way instead.
So, you get through all of this, and you get towards the end of Unlimited, and something different happens. I always felt, particularly when I played it the first time, that there was a ridiculously sharp uptick in writing quality at the very end of Unlimited.
Most likely it was completely intentional.
Yeah. It's like a really sharp uptick. It's almost whiplash worthy. You get to the end and there's a basically alternative four fails. That's basically what happens, and you're like, oh crap, alternative four failed. I still don't know what alternative four was, but it failed.
No.
And so the alternative that they go with to alternative four is alternative five, oh my god, which sends all of the people that they can into space to get on ships to go to another planet, and then they're going to engage in a massive assault on the beta that's probably going to fail.
They basically abandon Earth
to
its fate. Mm-hmm.
Yep, although the Americans like to think that they're abandoning the people on the ships and that they're going to take the world back.
Of
which,
course,
you know, might also be indicative of how our attitude would be.
Keep in mind that this is a heavily, alternate reality world where it's still the Soviet Cold War era, and,
I'm not sure how much of this is revealed in Unlimited, which is why I'm hesitant to talk about some of it.
It's quite heavily revealed in Unlimited. It basically says most of the history. It does reveal more about certain characters otherwise in the alternative.
Yeah, the basic, I suppose I should just go ahead and say this, the basic point at which everything changed in this reality, in the Unlimited and alternative reality, is back right before World War II. I believe World War II did not happen.
Have happened, but I don't think that America nuked Japan. I'm not 100% certain on that, because the Shogun is still around.
I think World War II didn't happen, which is why the Empire of Japan is still around. The USSR is a lot more powerful than it used to be, and it's also why the Japanese and several other nations managed to get lunar missions within the 1950s range. You know, it's kind of easy to have technological advances when you don't put life on hold for 7 years. Gets a little awkward, but yeah, so they go to the moon, they find the beta, and as we've said, they were also on Mars, we knew that, but we couldn't really confirm anything. And then we go to war on the moon! And then the beta came down to Earth in something like 1970s?
Yes, 1970s. 71, maybe?
Something like that. And, you know, the Chinese and the Russians try to keep it under wraps so that they can totally exploit that shit. And then it backfires. it backfires miserably, as opposed to the United States, who was like,
New King
Nope! They landed in Canada. Here it goes!
Yeah. Yes, I've been waiting for this moment.
Which, and, you know...
Nuking the flat provinces of Saskatchewan.
Woo! As I understand it, they just kind of nuked everything in Canada. It's kind of like a nuke it from orbit sort of thing. They didn't
care.
Why
would you need to do all of Canada? Canada's a big place.
I think the major
urban centers are right next to the border, so that would be dumb.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I mean...
I think what happens...
in Saskatchewan, you could probably get away with Saskatchewan, maybe Alberta and Manitoba, and maybe a few of the northern states.
Just... I think America would have wiped out a very large portion of Canada to make sure that nothing survived.
We're still the second largest landmass in terms of country.
And we have plenty of nukes to take care of all of it. my point is, yes, some of Canada probably survive, but not nearly as much as probably should have. Because, again, the Americans, when they saw Hiveland, they weren't, oh, it landed there, let's throw a nuke at it. It was, they landed there, let's see how much we can nuke in that general area. Because, you know, again, when you nuke something from orbit, you don't half-ass it. All I'm saying is, sorry, Canada.
Yeah. And when spaceships fall out of the sky, you make sure they try to hit with a very hard impact.
Yes, and you also use sniper rifles to take them down. It's not the point here.
Okay, so wikiing it up, World War II happened, but ended faster because of nukes.
Okay, so it ended faster.
And there was no war in the Pacific.
Okay, that's why the Empire of Japan still existed.
And I believe they just attacked parts of Canada, not all of it. But
yeah.
Hold on, let me look for it.
I don't think they ever...
Alaska is still pretty safe.
Alaska is safe. However, as we later learn in a side story, Alaska is not really America's anymore. They are renting it back to Russia. Or the Soviet Union, in this case. So it's a very interesting political dynamic you get there, and that gets explored in Muvlov Total Eclipse, which we'll talk about at a later date.
And Alternative, it's brought up again.
Is Alaska brought up in Alternative?
Not Alaska, but more of the politics.
Okay, more of the politics.
That's what I meant, sorry.
Yeah, the specific U.S.-Soviet politics doesn't really get completely brought up in Alternative, aside from the fact that the Soviet Union is more or less on the United States' side on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
Okay, so about Canada, about half of it was nuked.
Yeah, but, like I said, we just kind of nuked everything. Of course, it was probably the half of everything the Canadians don't care about, but nonetheless. Yeah. It's that sort of thing where the Americans would have gone up to the Canadians and said, look, we only nuke half of you guys. So it seems to me like that's a bit of a sour topic.
Well, I mean, it's got a pretty sour ending.
Yep.
To be fair.
Yeah, the Canadians can't even say sorry for it.
Yeah, you're here, you're basically useless, and you realize that everything is pretty much useless.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity's plan is to run away!
Yeah. Which is pretty much... Yeah, this is more explored in Alternative. There's political dynamic involved with how all these nations are negotiating with the Alternative projects, and it's very fascinating. But again, that's more revealed in Alternative, so we will keep that one for later.
But it like other stuff, like, why is there a random girl with bunny ears?
Ah, yes, and why is Samika not there?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
somebody's missing.
In the ending of Unlimited, but
well, I think it's important to note that a lot of us, when we started playing Unlimited, were like, "Oh, Sumika's not here. Okay,
where is she?"
I was just like, I didn't care. It was kind of mean of me, but I didn't care.
Yeah, same
here, kind
of. Yeah, and of course,
didn't matter much.
That attitude comes back to bite the shit out of you later.
Yeah.
Quite happy that she's not there because the world is so shit.
Yeah, but we never take a moment to think about what that entails, which is a very important point. Sure, she's not here, but where? Because everybody else is there. Even Makoto's there, despite the fact that we've undergone a apparent gender change.
Oh, technically Takaru was there, too.
Yes. Although, that also gets revealed in Alternative. It's fortunate how many things get revealed in Alternative. But maybe this is a good pitch for Alternative.
I think it is mentioned that where he was in Unlimited... I'm not... Again...
Okay, I think what happens is in Unlimited... Once he gets curious, and he goes up to Yuko and asks her about himself, and all she gives him is a cryptic, "I couldn't find you in the database."
But I think that's a about the reveals what all. Happened to you. I just remembered.
Is it
Tsukuyomi and the three idiots do make a?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They make reference to you being dead. Yes.
Yes.
And that's about all we know. We know that Yuko said that you weren't in the database, and we know that Mana certainly thinks that you're a dead man. But that's about the extent of what gets revealed. You know that you're probably dead, and you know that Yuko is either lying or...
withholding very important information.
Yeah. Or maybe you're just not in the database for some reason. Point here is, you don't really know what's up with Takaru, aside from the fact that you're probably dead. Which I suppose brings up an important point. You're Takaru. You are Takaru when you're playing this game, so it's always
you're
kind of odd.
The extra Takaru.
Yes, you are extra Takaru.
Oh, yes, now we're getting...
pulled out of reality during the bathhouse.
It's an interesting point. Yes, the dynamics of how this visual novel functions. So, Unlimited Takaru is a amalgamation of every root of extra. He experienced all of them, but none of them at the same time. It's just kind of how the physics of it worked out, however that works. And, you know, you get dropped straight into Alternative with that personality. You can remember the girls, and you can remember their endings vaguely, but that's the extent of it. And this will show up throughout the game. You'll see, like, flashes of the certain girls and the roots from Extra, but that'll be it.
And his banking, though.
Yes. Which also comes back to bite you in the ass later. yeah. Oh boy. Okay. I'm getting sidetracked on the Alternative right now. Alright, and so Unlimited is basically a sequel to Extra, very explicitly in that way. But not at the same time, because it's alternate realities. If you haven't figured it out yet, Unlimited is an alternate reality. And
really?
I know.
I bet you wish you were paying attention to those lectures now.
Yeah, yeah. So, I really did wish, because, dear God, they're such troll in Extra. I'll talk about this in Alternative, because I don't want to spoil anything. God, it's so difficult. okay.
Yes.
So at Extra, it is a pretty much an explicit sequel to Extra, and each Unlimited route is you're caught in a time loop, and I'm pretty sure you get mostly revealed that during Unlimited, you're locked in a time loop.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's at the very start of Alternative.
Hmm.
Might be the very start.
All right, well, I think I'm going to label it fair game for now, just so we can explain the dynamic.
We're getting pretty close to finishing Unlimited anyway, so
yeah.
By this point.
Well, we'll finish up with this then, probably. Alternative, it gets explained in Alternative that Unlimited was basically a time loop. Every route in that game did totally happen. It's just that you don't remember
like
it happening. Yep. It's just in a slightly different way. Whereas Extra, you kind of just had all the routes mashed together. Unlimited, it was kind of a sequential sort of thing, because Takaru he'll join into the reality, he will forget everything, and then he'll start back through it.
Remember him banging all the girls.
Yes, and he'll go through to one of the ending routes, and then when he eventually dies, he starts back over. And it continues like that. Basically, ad infinitum. There's no end to it.
Alternative randomly happens.
Yes, and then Alternative happens, which is the final route of the game. The trilogy.
where he suddenly remembers everything.
Where he remembers everything that happened in Unlimited, and now he knows what he has to do. And that's the lead into Alternative from Unlimited.
Unlimited also has a spinoff, The Day
yes.
After.
Yes.
That yeah. happens during, after the
end.
Unlimited.
And
but
the
not before, but not related to, Alternative. But, you should, it's quite a bit different than Unlimited. So.
Yeah. As I've said,
and it has different characters, so, yeah.
As I've said, I did a review on this side story at one point, the first one, the zeroth episode. The Day After is basically a crash course in why Alternative was really the better story. you look at Alternative and you're like, man, Takeru went through some shit in here. Was it really worth it? And then
yes,
you go and play.
Because everyone else didn't suffer nearly as badly.
And then you go to play The Day After and you go, oh, okay. Yeah, it's all good now. Yeah, just go and do Alternative. Yeah, it's good. Because from what little you see of The Day After, which we, of course, have to touch on during our side story segment, it is crap in there. Far more so than Alternative. For everybody. Basically everybody. And it is a very fascinating world that they made with that one. So, I mean, Extra and Unlimited, that's basically everything. As has become very clear in the process of talking about this, there's a lot of stuff that gets answered in Alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And so
play Alternative.
Yes. The upshot here is, play these so that you can get set up for the best tee-off in history.
Yes.
And
play as much as you can.
Play as much as you can. You'll get more enjoyment the more you do. Although I will put in a slight piece of advice about the Unlimited thing. You only have to play one of the endings.
Yeah, where Extra has different, very different endings, the Limited is really the same thing except with a different girl.
Yeah, it's basically decided by one choice right near the end of the game. Two choices if you're going for the bad ending. So, I mean, that's it for our Extra Unlimited talk.
Yeah.
Anyone have any final closing thoughts?
Highlights of Unlimited.
Highlights of Unlimited.
Because yeah, we did Extra, but we didn't do Unlimited.
True.
Volcanoes.
Island? The volcanoes was... Yeah, that was an interesting arc, the volcano arc.
The island, I thought, was interesting.
The island is certainly interesting.
It was president of the UN's visit.
Yeah.
Was it always?
It's the secretary or something.
That's it.
It's okay. Yeah, but the secretary's visit to the base—that's a good one. Especially when Kasumi has to clean the latrines.
Oh God.
It's like
the spacecraft. We said the spacecraft.
Oh, spacecraft yes, dark. Yeah.
And that was totally a reference to Evangelion right there.
A bit.
It's also passed off as a joke in Extra about the spaceship crashing.
Pretty much. You know, despite the fact that if it actually hit, it would have killed everybody.
And, Cafeteria Lady is awesome.
Cafeteria Lady is pretty awesome. And she only gets more awesome with Alternative.
Marimo is not Yuko's bitch anymore.
Yeah, well,
Completely, at least.
Okay, I was about to say, okay, she's not dressing her in cosplay anymore, but I'm pretty sure that if Yuko wanted to, she could manipulate her. She just is a little bit busy right now. But no, Marimo's a lot better. Oh, by the way, Marimo shows up in The Day After. And yeah, she's a lot better at her whole sticking up for herself thing. It probably helps the fact that she's a soldier. Another highlight. Well, the entire ending arc was a highlight for me.
Cool.
Pretty simple. A lot more emotion, a lot more interesting, and it was kind of like a freight train. Just kind of crashed through the door.
Yeah, so like all of a sudden you realize, oh, I should have done something.
Oh, this is a bad ending.
No matter what
Merry
I do,
Christmas.
This world is fucked.
Yeah, yeah, like we said earlier in this podcast, actually, Unlimited is a bad end. Or, at the very least, a bittersweet end. And, it's not a great ending. It's really not, because it's basically saying, oh, and Yuko's plan failed. Sorry.
Yuko's plan failed. You're gonna have to send off one of your girlfriends. Have fun with that.
Yeah, which it's even worse when you think about the implications behind what just happened in that ending arc. Particularly if you're on Maya's ending.
Yes.
The comedy of... It's not really a comedy of errors, it's a tragedy of errors in a way. So, Maya, she's related to the royal family, as we learn in this thing in Unlimited. That's all we know about her. She's related. She gets a ticket to get on one of the craft to go to outer space and get on one of the ships. She doesn't want it. She has her people rewrite it so it goes to Takeru. But Takeru goes and rewrites it himself to give it back to her.
Or to any of the other girls.
Or to any of the other girls, which is kind of terrible.
In hindsight.
Yeah, it's a lot harsher when you realize that, too. But pretty much every ending where you do that is a little bit harsh in a way. But, and then it makes you question what is actually supposed to be the good ending there.
Again, I think you realize what the good ending entails, an alternative.
Yeah. Alternative.
All right. The good ending is not the bad ending. That is what the good ending is.
Well, the thing is, I think Unlimited is a bad ending, so I think we're just kind of screwed.
Yeah.
And again, that's what tees up Alternative. It's the fact that, wow, this game kind of ended suckily. Not in the fact that it was terrible, but in the fact that, oh shit, nothing worked.
I can imagine having to wait 3 years after that ending would be horrible.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
would be painful.
Yeah, they had to wait for 3 years for that. Which is ironic, considering Alternative was originally supposed to be included in the game with them. But they somehow managed to get 3 years of development out of it.
Which is probably for the better.
Yeah, it definitely was. Although, if they had really released the entire trilogy in one go in the same state that it is right now, that would have probably been the most god release of gaming ever. It's like, how did you put so much in here? But they had to wait a while, and I'm so glad that we didn't have to. Except for right now, we're having to wait for the Kickstarter, which might also classify as a version of this.
That dates this podcast a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's still not out yet.
Still not out.
They said it'd be out a week ago. They lied.
Yeah, that's why we started doing the podcast, and still not.
If the Kickstarter actually succeeds, we're going to actually have that issue again, because they're going to take about 3 months after the release of Extra Unlimited to the release of Alternative.
Damn it!
But we do have a new Mother Love anime to look forward to.
Yes!
Schwarzmachen!
Let's hope that carries us over.
I hope so. It's certainly positioned very well to sell the first visual novel. Assuming that they hit their deadline. I'm hoping. So, in any case, Extra and Unlimited, I think we've about cleared everything up. We went over the highlights. We've gone over basically everything that we could. Everything else we've said, wait for Alternative. Any other closing thoughts?
Not really.
I wanted to say that Unlimited, it's like you guys said, it was pretty much just Extra with a different scheme, like a different premise.
Yeah.
I'd like to add that it definitely has the feel of Extra at the beginning, but it slowly progresses into something different. And it's a transitional phase. It's not something that stands out well by itself, but in the trilogy, in the scope of the trilogy, it does its job of a really great transition.
Yes. Yeah, I'd agree. And they just shift a lot faster at the end, which is why there's a lot of whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that sets you up for, like we said, Alternative, where he kind of starts off very differently from how he does in Unlimited. And can't wait for that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if there is nothing else, we shall adjourn.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for being on, everybody. Again, we had Messiah, we had Kinksy, we had Kraken Unleashed, and we had Kevin, Rockman Dash, and of course myself, Dex. And we'll be back next time with Mother Love Alternative. Our in-depth analysis that will most likely feature either me or Exile talking for half the time. Or both.
Evo, Brock, and I crying in the distance.
Also us holding a trigger just on Messiah to make sure that he doesn't do anything. Because Messiah is like the reincarnation of Koki, despite the fact that Koki's not dead yet. He's just kind of mean. Alright.
I do wonder how many people are going to be squeezed into this little box next time.
We're going to be fighting to see who can be on this, because I think 5 is our max.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Do you guys want to say where we can find you or anything, or do we just want to head out?
We should just head out.
All right. Well, we will see you next time, then. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.